If a couple of you ladies would take Rosie, and you want to stay in the service too? Lori? No. Okay, Rosie and Lori are going to, you girls may go. Grandma says, phew. All right. We're glad that each of you are here this morning. If we seem a little disorganized, it's because Tim is who normally does our song leading. Tim is out in Oklahoma right now. He's scheduled to be back here on Tuesday, and so we'll be glad to have him back leading singing. As you can see, I'm not a song leader. In the Garden is one of my favorite hymns, but there's a reason that we sang In the Garden this morning. Because what we are going to be doing at the end of this service is actually something that Jesus did just before going to the garden on his way to the cross. There are two words that we find in the Bible that are very important words. And these same two words we can use in life because they are very important words in life too. The first word is forgetting. There are things that we all should forget. Just wipe them out of our minds. And the second word is remembering. And there are things that we should remember. There are things that God tells us we are to remember. And it was that way at the Last Supper. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, which we'll go to also at the end of the service, the Lord, as he sat there at that last meal with his disciples, the Bible tells us that, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's what's on the table. After the same manner, also he took the cup when they had supped and saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That was a command. That's something that we are to do. Every time that we sit down to partake of food, God has provided that food. God has done that for us. There are people that don't have food, even some Christians. But every time that we partake of food, we should be thinking about the Lord. That's why we ask the blessing before the meal. Now, there are times that all of us forget. We've been told to remember, but we forget. And sometimes we'll sit down to eat something, and we will have taken a bite, and while we are chewing it up, the Holy Spirit reminds us, you didn't ask God, you didn't thank God for this. So I thought that in the beginning, since we are in the beginning, this is our first service of this year, it might be good if we did some spiritual housekeeping. It's a time when we need to clear out our memories by forgetting some things that have occurred during the year. And at the same time, we should make an effort to remember some other things. The things to forget are the things that where we were offended or something we would call bad happened to us. And the things to remember are the good times when God poured his blessings into our lives. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the bad things and the blessings coming from God, because they may look to be bad to us, but God knows that somewhere down the road, they will turn out to be a blessing. We need to get rid of some mental clutter. Now, I have been told that clutter around a home brings confusion. Some of you maybe have experienced this. Clutter around an office brings confusion. And sometimes we store up a lot of clutter in our minds because we don't forget things. We don't get rid of things that shouldn't be there. And so that causes us mental or spiritual clutter. Now, we all know that there are people who collect stuff. And that stuff begins to accumulate. And it gets to the point where there's so much stuff that you don't know what to do with it. Now, we're all guilty at one time or another in our lives. I know my wife and I, when we moved into a motorhome, we had to get rid of a lot of stuff. But we also rented storage so we could have a place to put our stuff, some of it. And we paid $75 a month or whatever it was for months and months and years to store stuff. And sometimes we do. And it's just stuff. And 20 years later, we wonder, why did we store this stuff? Okay. Now, probably none of you have ever done that. But today, I'd like for us to maybe really, once and for all, get rid of some stuff. Stuff that we've been carrying with us. Stuff that might be inadvertently a burden upon our lives. There are times when people are unwilling. I'm one of men, and I have to admit this because my wife will tell you, if I don't tell you the truth, she'll tell you. But there are times when I think, oh, there's something, I might need that later on. We've all done it. So we keep it. But it's just stuff. And we don't use it. And there it lays. I find that in some people's lives, I get to talk to a lot of different people that didn't talk to nearly as many this week because they weren't around. But in talking to some people, I find that there's some things they're unwilling to get rid of. And we need to take the explicit instructions of God's Word and make an application. You know, you can read the Word every day. You can spend an hour a day reading the Word. But if you do not make an application of what you have read, if you don't find a place to tuck it into your life and use it, it's really not going to do you any good. Oh, it's not a waste of time because it's there somewhere, but if you don't make an application, you don't do what the Word says, you're wasting your time. So I want to take one short passage of Scripture. We're just going to start there, but there's a lot of different Scriptures we're going to get to this morning. But I want to take one particular one. Has to do with remembering and forgetting. And it's Matthew 18, 15 through 17. I'd like everybody to turn there. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 15. Just three verses, 15, 16, 17. Scripture tells us, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him, thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man, a publican. The Jews were very separated from other peoples. And you might wonder why I think this is so important. I've heard people tell me, "Oh, I've forgiven so-and-so for what they did to me." Is that what it says? That's not what it says. Yes, it does tell you to forgive. In many other places, we'll look at a couple. But this says what? Moreover, if thy brother shall it trespass against thee, go tell him or her. Not to provoke the argument or the disagreement any further, but many times, and I have done it, I will say something that's taken the wrong way and I have offended somebody. And if they do not tell me, then I cannot make it right. If I find that the Holy Spirit convicts me and I can ask God, "God, I did wrong, forgive me," and I don't go and tell the person, they'll never know. And they'll carry that burden with them for as long as they live, in some cases, not knowing that they've ever offended somebody. Happens in churches all the time. People get offended in a church, they don't say anything, and they leave. And then they go to another church, and the first thing they do is tell, "Oh, I left that church because, you know, they did this to me or they said this about me." And we don't want to do that. It says, go tell them. And if I ever offend anyone here, if I ever offend any of you, I want to remind you, this verse says, go tell him. And I would welcome. I might be embarrassed. I might be ashamed. It might even hurt my pride. But go tell me. Come and tell me. And then it's from that point on, it's between me and God. Do I make it right? Do I undo the offense? But if you don't tell me, I may never know. And then in verse 16 it says, all right, take a couple people with you to witness that you're trying to make this thing right. And it doesn't say, go complain to somebody else. Go gossip behind their back or backbite them. And we're starting off a new year, and I'd like to start that year clean. And that's why there are some things that all of us probably need to forget. And if you do this, if you do it this way, God will bless it. If you don't, if you say, "Oh, I already forgave them, I'm not going to go talk to them about this," that's not God's way. Can God bless? He does many times. Even though we don't do it his way. In spite of that, he blesses us sometimes. But there may be a time when it doesn't. I've got a nose wanting to get away from my face, and it's running. I did that a couple weeks ago. I was talking to a lady who has lost her husband very recently. She's in a situation where she's really sort of stuck, trapped, doesn't know what to do. And I was trying to encourage her, and I made a suggestion. And it was a very logical suggestion. I had a good reason in my mind for making that suggestion, but she misunderstood what I was saying. And the moment I hung up, she went to someone else and told them that I had said such and such. When that's not really what I was saying, but that was her interpretation. And so, folks, if that happens in your life, somebody says something that offends you, go to the person who is offended and tell them. Be nice about it. Be loving about it. But tell them. Because when she went to that other person called me and said, Ken, did you say this and this? Yeah, I that's partially what I said. And so when I got in touch with that lady further, a little bit later, I explained to her what I had in mind when I had made the statements that I'd made. But see, it gave me a chance. She didn't come to me. This friend did, because they knew that was the way to resolve it. Go to the source. So if somebody offends you, let them know about it. Give them a chance to make it right with the Lord. Paul wrote a lot about, you know, he wrote the communion service that we've opened with. He also wrote in the book of Philippians about this. In Philippians 3, 13 through 14, he said, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul knew there were things that needed to be forgotten. He had the right idea for starting out a new year or a new life. He knew that keeping old grudges would not be a positive thing. He knew that a start over sometimes was not necessarily the right way to go either. Paul understood that there were things that were best forgotten. Maybe something you've heard about somebody else. Forget it. That was gossip. That was backbiting. If a person comes under conviction that they've done something that they shouldn't have done, then they need to do something about that. For the most part, past wrongs are just anchors to weigh down the soul and to keep it from moving on for the Lord, and stalling a person's life right where it is. And Paul was talking about pressing on, moving forward. And we all want to do that with our lives. We want to make some progress. Philippians 3 speaks of pressing on, and looking back has always been discouraged by God. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 9, 62, and Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. There's many different references about looking back. There's another one that Jesus made rather in Luke 17, 32, when he said, Remember Lot's wife. What do we remember about Lot's wife? She looked back. After the angel told her not to. So the only time that we should be looking back is when the Holy Spirit reminds us about something we've done, that it needs some kind of action. So that actually brings us to a bit of a conundrum. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. And I was thinking, yeah, that's quite a conundrum. Let me ask you all a question. What's the difference between looking back and remembering? What's the difference between looking back and remembering? I think that the difference is a matter of why are we looking back or why are we remembering and for what purpose? Why is a person looking back? Is it because they're yearning for something back there in the past that God didn't see fit to give them? Lot's wife looked back because she was yearning for what she was leaving behind. And God doesn't say we're to move back. We're to move forward. We're to be advancing. What's a person looking for when they look back? Is it something good or something that God said, no, you shouldn't do that? Is there some pet sin in the back, in the past that has entrapped a person? Sometimes, and you've all heard it, sometimes a person will go to pray and they give you a lot more information than you really need, a lot more information than God needs, because God doesn't forget. We don't have to tell God what we did. He already knows. All we've got to do is make it right. If the plowman looks back, what happens is he loses track of where he's headed, the point that he has fixed on to plow that furrow, and the furrow is no longer straight. If he looks back this way, the furrow is going to go this way. If he looks back, you're driving the same way. If you take your eyes off the road and look around, because there's a spider dropping down beside you here. Been a lot of accidents caused by little bitty spiders. Or a bee gets in the car. And whichever way you look, you're going to turn. So, what is a person looking for when they look back? Something good or something involving sin? Remembering and forgetting are a major part of the Christian walk. There are many things that we are to remember. And God tells us what he wants us to remember. There's so much scripture. Let's look at some of the things that God tells his people not to forget. Deuteronomy 8:11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." We are always to remember the commandments and the judgments and the statutes of the Lord. There are things that the Lord says that we are to forget. Job 9:27 says, "If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself." There are people who constantly think about what bad has happened to them. We're to forget that. It's not going to help us to think about those things. In Job again, in 11:16, it says, "Because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember as it as waters that pass away. You see, we're supposed to forget the bad stuff. We're not supposed to remember it. As we forget the bad things, now we're not to forget the good things. The good things that God does for us. Let's look at a few of the things that God tells us in His Word that we should remember. Psalm 103, 2 through 5, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." The fellow who called me about what I had said to the other lady is 97 years old. He's more spry than I am. God does that for him. Psalm 19:16 says, "I will delight thyself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." And that's something that we can all do. Psalm 19:93 says, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." And that word quickened means made alive. God is so merciful. He does everything for our benefit. He does not do these things to harm us. Everything He does is for our benefit. How can we doubt God's intention toward us? He saved us. He gave His only Son to die. The writer of the book of Hebrews had a couple of things to say about the subject. Hebrews 13:16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." You have to take a little bit of your time to do something for somebody else when you wanted to use it for your own self. God doesn't forget. He's pleased with that. Why should we do things like that? Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." He remembers what you do, "which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Because God does not forget what we have done for Him. He's not going to forget. "Lord, you remember when I put that $10 in?" No, He doesn't forget that. So when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, He remembers what we have done to serve and please Him. He doesn't forget it. Let's look at a couple more passages about what God has told us about remembering. God, after the flood, made this statement, Genesis 9, 14 and 15, "And it shall come to pass, when I will bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant." Under the Old Testament, God wanted to remember people to remember, Numbers 15, 14, 40, "that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." We're still to remember and be holy for our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, "As He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." There are times when we want God to remember the situation we're in, and we call out to Him as Samson did. Remember, Samson had lost all of his strength in his relationship with God. But at the very end of his life, he called out and wanted God to remember him. And there are times when we want God to remember. God always remembers us. We don't have to be afraid of that. So as we come to this table that is prepared in front of me, we want to remember what Jesus Christ did for each one of us. When he did that, when he hung on that cross, as his blood dripped out of the wounds in his hands and his feet and eventually his side, he was doing this not for his disciples. Well, he did it for his disciples. But he was doing it for the children of his disciples and their children down through the ages. And he knew that each one of us would be gathered together here this morning, January 7th, 2018. And some of that blood was shed for you. And he knew, when he told his disciples this, do in remembrance of me, he was telling us the very same thing. And so this morning, as we meet around this table, we are doing it because we do remember him. And he is the most important person in our lives. But it does not come without a warning. In this 11th chapter of Corinthians that we started off with, there was a warning. Paul was warning people, don't do this lightly. Don't do this undeservedly. None of us deserve it. But we can come to this table if our sins are all confessed. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we should not come before this table unrighteously. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30, it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And he makes one last statement. He says, for this many are weak and sickly among you. Ever seen a, what do you think of a weak Christian? Do you want to be a weak Christian? I don't. So we need to heed his warning this morning. Let's assume an attitude of prayer. Let me close the message in prayer. And then we'll let the men come and we will prepare for our communion service. Father, thank you for those things that you have told us we are to remember. Thank you for the things that you remember about us when we have served you and loved you and worshiped you. May your Holy Spirit now work in all of our hearts. And if there are things there that we have forgotten that need to be dealt with, may they be remembered and dealt with and then forgotten. If there are things we need to remember, things that need to be done, Lord, remind us of those things too. As we come to the communion table, we would ask that each one of us might be prepared in our hearts that we might be confessed up, that our lives might represent Jesus Christ, and that you might be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If our deacons will come forward, we'll enter into our communion service.